love this shoe. Why would I want any other shoe? So we went, we took the shoe, and the salesman kind of laughed at us, and me in particular, and said, oh, ma'am, that shoe hasn't been in stock here for years, which made me wonder. I don't even remember how long it had been. But I couldn't get my new shoe. And I was so upset because I had to do something new. I had to get a new shoe. Now, maybe you're not that way with shoes, but maybe there's something else in your life that you hold on to, and the thought of having to change it or do something new horrifies you, as it did with my shoe. You know, we always say that we like new things, that we like to buy new things and have new things, and that's true. I think we like the novelty of getting something new, but when it really comes down to it, in places that we are comfortable or we feel in control or where we don't know what the alternative would be, don't we like staying with our old thing, the thing we know, the thing that gives us comfort? I think that's probably human nature. But we are told over and over again as Christians, if we are going to be people who follow God, there will always be new things. Because our God is a God that always looks forward. And our God is a God of renewal, of new life, of new things. And if we are going to follow that God, we can't let the fear of new things hold us back. We see that today in our reading from Acts, the one that Carrie read for us. In that reading, this is often called the Pentecost for the Gentiles. This is really a pivot point in the ministry. So in this reading for today, the church goes from being basically what was a Jewish sect to being something for all people. Before that, Jesus had really been known to have come for the Jewish people. But in today's reading, Gentiles are baptized. The ministry is opened up. This is a huge and new change. Now, it's a very, very odd reading in some ways. Peter is at the core of it, and at the beginning of it, this large sheep from heaven comes down, and there's all these animals on it, and Peter's really hungry. And I always imagine one of those cartoons where the little character sees everything that goes by as like a steak or something, right? Wasn't that Looney Tunes where that always was? Right, Peter is so hungry, and he has this dream. And there are all these animals, which God says, go ahead, take one of them, eat it. But for Peter's tradition, for his rites of holiness, he wouldn't have been able to eat any of those animals. And God says, oh no, go ahead, Peter. You can do it. I'm letting you. It's okay. And I love this part about it. Peter fights with God, basically. Peter says, no, God, I'm not going to do it. And three times, God has to say, it's okay, Peter. I know this doesn't mesh with what you think it means to be holy. I know this is something new, but go ahead. He tells him three times, and then from what we can tell, Peter never really does it, and the sheep goes away, and Peter is just confused about what has happened. But God was preparing him with that dream, because soon Peter would meet Cornelius, and Cornelius was a Roman soldier. And while he was well regarded among the Jewish people, and he was what was called a God-fearer, a God-fearer was a person who believed in the Jewish God, the God of Israel, but didn't follow the God of Israel. So was respectful towards that God. So while Cornelius was that and well-respected, he still was an outsider. And being a Roman soldier, in many ways, he was still an enemy of the Jewish people because the Romans were oppressing the Jews. And yet, he is baptized. The Holy Spirit, it says, and I love this line, fell even on the Gentiles, right? Even on them. And all of a sudden, this baptism is happening. And it's going against everything Peter knew or had ever practiced. Now, I think sometimes we underestimate how hard or just outstanding this was for Peter. It was nothing he had learned or known. This was a completely new concept that Gentiles would be allowed into God's promise. It was new, and yet he stepped into it.
And as we look at Peter, I think we see some of the ways that make it difficult and how we can get tripped up. The first thing when I looked at this, I kept going back to this thing of Peter was puzzled, right? He didn't know what that dream meant. And so often when new things happen, when the Holy Spirit is moving, when things are shifting, aren't we puzzled? We're so confused. Things don't match our worldview. What is going on? And then sometimes we just shut down or we get in our own way. Where all the time God is asking to say, I know you don't know what's going on, but trust me. Peter kept going forward, kept listening to God, and soon Cornelius would be in his life. I'm sure he had no idea that was going to happen. But through his confusion, through his ability to let go, even when he didn't know what was going on, God worked. We so often try to control things or put things in neat little boxes we understand, and I think we get in our own way, and we certainly get in the way of the Holy Spirit. It's okay sometimes not to know what's going on if we can trust that God will move us forward. I was once in a language class, and it was Slovak, which is a terrible language. It's so hard. For me, it was. And there was a man who spoke really well, and I was getting frustrated. And he said, oh, don't worry. He said, I didn't know what was going on in this class for 6 weeks, right? He had no idea. He was just confused by what was going on. People were dropping out all over, but he stayed there, even in his confusion, and all of a sudden it made sense. And in hindsight, isn't that what our life is like often? It makes sense all of a sudden, even though we were so confused. It's okay to not know what's going on sometimes. The other thing Peter dealt with, Peter was getting pushback. Now, maybe you've dealt with this. If change happens, people don't always like it so much around you. So even if you're strong enough to do it, you're going to get a lot of resistance. We don't get this part of the story, but right after this, in fact, the next verses, Peter has done this, he's baptized these Gentiles, it's awesome, right? Well, he goes to Jerusalem, and the first thing all the people there, the Jews say there are, what did you do that for? And they're angry at Peter, and they're pushing back at Peter because this doesn't match what they think or know. Maybe you've been there. You've done something. You felt like God is moving in your life, and people around you are pushing back at you. We're not always so good with change. Even in small ways, I remembered a Thanksgiving years and years ago. My mother, when we were growing up, we always had Thanksgiving on my father's side, and it was a potluck. And she always took baked beans. Her baked beans were famous. And one year, and I don't remember if she was on a diet or a health kick or what it was, decided she was not taking baked beans, she was taking something healthier. I cannot tell you the outrage that ensued at that Thanksgiving dinner because Auntie B had not brought her baked beans. And I can also tell you, for as long as that gathering happened, she always took baked beans every time since, right? If we get that worked up over baked beans, how much more do we get worked up over those things that are deep within us? We will get pushed back if we decide to listen to the Holy Spirit and try new things, but it is what we are called to. It's just so hard. The church is struggling right now as an institution, struggling because we're in this shifting time. And so many people want to go back to, as one of my colleagues says, a time that never really existed anyway, right? We all want to go back to some magical golden period. But that's not what we're called to. We're called to be faithful and move forward, not necessarily knowing what it'll look like in 50 years, but knowing God will still be with us. And to be able to live in that confusion and change and still be faithful. It's true for the church. It's true for our community organizations. Maybe you're a part of some shifting organizations out in the world. It's also true in our own lives. Things will shift and change. But here's what we can always count on. We never go through that shift and change alone. God promises us that the Holy Spirit walks behind us, in front of us, and beside us. God will always be there. And if we're really honest, sometimes, don't we need new things? Even if we don't want them, don't we need them? Those shoes that I loved so much, the seams were coming apart. I was getting wet feet when I would walk out in the rain. I needed new shoes. Sometimes our lives need new things. Our organizations need new things. Our spirit needs something new. And trust that when you step into that place where the Holy Spirit is moving, God is there, faithful to you, walking beside you. The Holy Spirit will move, and as people of faith, our job is not to control it or understand it. Our job is just to grab on and try to keep up. That's what happened to Peter. One person explained of Peter that his job went from being an explainer of the truth and a keeper of the faith to someone who was just trying to keep up with the Holy Spirit. And that's what we do too. So believe and know that the Holy Spirit is moving through the world and new things will come, whether we like it or not. So here's what we do. We hold on tight as the Holy Spirit moves. We trust that the Holy Spirit is weaving together things we could never even know or imagine. God promises us that God works all things for good. So step out. Step into the new. Know that it might be scary, but know that with God's love, it will be good.